And it's now 11 o'clock. This is WFMT Chicago, 98.7 FM, HD1, and online at WFMT.com. Lisa Flynn here with you this morning. I'm now over in the Faye and Daniel Levin Performance Studio for a live impromptu here on WFMT. And impromptu on WFMT is supported in part by a grant from the Elizabeth F. Cheney Foundation, a Chicago-based philanthropy dedicated to arts and culture, and by generous gifts from members of the WFMT Fine Arts Circle. And today we welcome to the studio Ron McFarlane, an artist who, perhaps more than any other today, has sought to bring the most popular instrument of the Renaissance, the lute, into today's musical mainstream and make it accessible to a wider audience. He has made more than 35 recordings of solo music, duets, lute songs, and as a member of the Baltimore Consort. And he has also composed new music for the lute. And so we're going to hear just a few facets of his extensive career this morning, including one of his own compositions, also music of Alessandro Piccinini, some Scottish folk tunes. And to start this morning, Ron McFarlane plays for us music by the late 16th, early 17th century English composer Peter Phillips. This is the Chromatic Pavane. Thank you. Chromatic Pavane by the English Renaissance composer Peter Phillips, as played for us live this morning by Ron McFarlane, who is here in Chicago for a performance that actually took place yesterday at the University of Chicago, along with fellow all-star veteran of the lute, Paul Odette. You performed duets from Elizabethan Italy and England in your performance yesterday. We're so glad that you stayed an extra day to perform here at WFMT for
Thank
us this
you.
Morning.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Great to have you. That piece that you just played, what interesting harmonies. It's quite striking at times for
yes.
an Elizabethan or a piece from the early 17th century.
Yes, and Peter Phillips, an English composer, spent some time in the Netherlands where he probably encountered chromatic composers such as Sweelinck and might have been influenced by him. Mm-hmm. This originated as a keyboard piece okay. for the English virginals and turns up in the Fitzwilliam Virginal book. Mm-hmm. But a contemporary of Peter Phillips, a lutenist, must have loved his music so much as to make this arrangement for the lute.
Now, that kind of a piece, it's very stately, and you can see it being performed in the English court. But the lute is an instrument that really went through all parts of society, and the next music that you're going to play for us this morning reflects that as well. What were some of the other places where the lute was performed during this period?
Well, all countries of Western Europe, certainly, mm-hmm. and it was thought of largely as a noble instrument. It was played at court. It was played by kings and queens and princes. But it was also loved by common people, and it has an enormous repertory of folk pieces. In fact, much of the repertory is in that borderline between folk music and art music, or what we call classical music nowadays. And this music from Scotland, there are about 600 surviving pieces in the Scottish tradition from 16th and 17th century. And almost the entire repertory is anonymous. Most of these, I think, were tunes that just happened to be in the air that someone finally wrote down on the lute.
So they were written down, but I'm assuming that you're allowed free rein to do a lot of improvisation on these tunes.
I think that was absolutely a part of the spirit of music making at the time. All right. Yes.
So you're going to play for us a set of Scottish folk tunes. These come from approximately what time period?
Around 1620 or so. They come from two anonymous manuscripts called the Rowallan Lute Book and the Strullach Lute Book.
Okay, here once again is Ron McFarlane. Thank you. A set of Scottish folk tunes played on the lute for us today by Ron McFarlane. Music from around 1620, a Scots tune, Cornyards, Gypsy's Lilt, two Scots tunes, and finally two canaries played for us live this morning here on WFMT on an impromptu from the Faye and Daniel Evans studio. And if you'd like to hear this impromptu again, it will be available later on our website at WFMT.com. Ron, the lute comes in so many shapes and sizes and numbers of strings as it was changed and adapted over the years. What is the instrument that you're playing now, and from approximately what period and where?
This is a fairly new lute that was built just last year for me by Travis Carey in Vancouver, British Columbia. And it's based on lutes from right around 1620 or so. It's a 10-course lute. That means it has 19 strings altogether with one single treble string, and then nine pairs of either unison-tuned strings or octave-tuned strings, as we have in the bass. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of the standard lute that we had right around 1620 or thereabouts.
Primarily in England then, or all throughout Europe?
England, France, also Germany. Okay. It was very widespread.
Yeah. Well, and you have started over the last few years, you've been composing for the instrument as well, and this really follows in a long tradition of lutenist composers going back to the Renaissance period, sort of like our contemporary singer-songwriters.
Absolutely. Yeah. In the old days, there wasn't that gulf between composer on one hand and the performer on the other hand. The lute composers were the lute performers. Mm-hmm. So as I've begun writing some new music for the lute, in spite of the fact that the lute has a tremendously large repertory of more than 40,000 pieces, these new pieces really follow in the footsteps of the old composers.
And who are your influences musically?
I would say my influences are everything that I've listened to, from my rock and roll background to my love of Celtic music, impressionistic music. After playing from decades of playing Renaissance and Baroque music, it's very freeing to let in every single musical influence that mm-hmm. I've had over the last 40, 50 years. So I think there's a whole wide world of influences there.
Well, and you also bring that to the ensemble of which you are a member and founder, Earhart.
Of Earhart, yes.
And you recently had a wonderful CD that came out over the summertime that I really enjoyed from last year, bringing those, you know, crossing all the genres and the lines. Tell us about that group.
Yes. While Earhart was originally founded to play my original music, we also love the old music so much that we perform it, and we have a recent CD called Barley Moon mm-hmm. that explores the area between art music on one hand and folk music on the other hand. We have music of William Byrd and John Dowland, who are some of the towering figures of that music, of that time. But they're very interested in folk music themselves and created beautiful and sophisticated arrangements of the folk tunes of their time. We've included not just their arrangements, but also some folk tunes that I knew from my rock and roll days, such yeah. as John Barleycorn, which was covered by Traffic, even though it's a 400-year-old ballad tune. I heard it in 1970 as a high school student, and I loved the song. Had no idea that it went back that far. Mm-hmm. Another one called Nottingham Town comes from medieval England, but the tune itself was taken by Bob Dylan and used for the melody of his song Masters of War. So there are these connections between popular music and traditional folk music and art music that go back for centuries until right now.
We're going to hear one of your compositions this morning. Tell us about that piece and about the work that precedes it. Some contrasts here from music from the 17th century and today.
Definitely. The original piece is called Cathedral Cave. And I was looking through a National Geographic magazine some time back and came across an article called Beneath the Tasman Sea. And it had some amazing deep-sea photographs of Cathedral Cave, which is a deep-sea underwater cave. And it just captured my imagination, the visuals. So Cathedral Cave tries to translate in sound that amazing, magical, deep-sea underwater world.
Okay.
Then before that, Alessandro Piccinini, the composer of the Passacaglia that I will play first, most players in the Renaissance touched the strings with the fingertips rather than the fingernail. There was one writer, Miguel Fuegnana, who wrote, "Only the living flesh, not the dead fingernail, can impart the living spirit of the music."
Yeah.
But Piccinini had a different idea. He thought, "You should grow your nails out to the ends of your fingers," he said, as he did, "and then play very close to the bridge where you would get the most, I would say, the brightest possible sound, kind of like that." And in addition, he said, instead of the usual gut strings, you should tune up your lute with metal strings. And that would create, in his opinion, a sweet metallic sound. So I'm not equipped to give you that sweet metallic sound mm-hmm. because I do play with my fingertips. But it goes to show that people had a lot of individual style and individual ideas of what made a beautiful sound. I think there was a lot more range and a lot more color than we imagined that there might have been back 400 years ago.
Okay, here once again, Ron McFarlane in music of Piccinini and one of his own compositions.
Thank you.
That's Ron McFarlane showing us the amazing versatility of the lute, an instrument that had its heyday in the Renaissance, but still very much a living and thriving instrument in the contemporary times. They're playing one of his own compositions called Cathedral Cave, inspired by an underwater cave beneath the Tasman Sea. And then before that, music from about 400 years ago by Alessandro Piccinini, a Passacaglia. Ron McFarlane has been our guest today for a live impromptu here on WFMT. So great to meet you and hear your music. I've been admiring your recordings for so many years. You've made, I think I said earlier, more than 35 or so of solo
yes.
recordings and with the Baltimore Consort. So what's in the future in terms of recordings for you and for Earhart? Do you have another project lined up?
Earhart is working on a John Dowland project to record sometime in the future. And we've also just completed recording an all-original music project, which will come out sometime this year, I hope. For myself, I'm busy working on a solo project of all Irish and Scottish tunes, arrangements from the 17th and 18th century.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
So I'm looking forward to that, having a lot of fun making the arrangements.
Thanks for coming in this morning and
playing for us.
Many
thanks. It's been a pleasure to be here this morning.
Lutenist Ron McFarlane, who's been our guest. And we'd also like to thank Louise Frank, who is the producer of the Impromptu series. And our engineer today was Mary Mazurek. And remember, if you'd like to hear this again, it will be available later on our website at WFMT.com. And this impromptu on 98.7 is supported in part by a grant from the Elizabeth F. Cheney Foundation, a Chicago-based philanthropy dedicated to arts and culture, and by generous gifts from members of the WFMT Fine Arts Circle. If you enjoyed this live performance, please become a sustaining member today. Ongoing monthly contributions are one of the most effective ways to support the station, and it's quick and easy. Become a sustaining member now by pledging online at WFMT.com.